As the Apostle Paul addressed the Thessalonian church in his second letter to them, we find that the Apostle refers to the call of God, God calling man, that man might be saved. I read in your hearing two verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, those verses being 13 and 14. Paul says, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Think for just a moment of the wonderful call of God, that he has called us in order that we might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we cannot spend just a moment in thinking about the thrill and the wonder of being called by God. What are the thoughts that come to your mind as you think about the great God of heaven having called us? Well, first of all, he is the true and the living God. These are attributes of God that are mentioned. The fact that he calls men to the glory which is in Christ Jesus, the very fact that he does that tells us about the nature of God. He is living. He is alive. He is aware of mankind, his creation, and he is aware of the needs of mankind. Not only that, and I probably will repeat this at least one more time in the lesson, it tells about the wonderful love that God has for us, that he would call us to salvation, that he would call us to sanctification, that he would call us to the glory which is in Christ Jesus. I think I would remind you that the idea of the call of God is not something that is new or unfamiliar to the pages of the Bible at all. In the Old Testament, we have numbers of examples of God having called men. He called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He called him to go into the land of Canaan. In the same sense of the word, we can say that God called Noah, and he appointed him for that particular great task of the salvation of his family and the salvation of what would be the production of mankind. The prophets of old were all called by God. They did not write by their own inclination or through their own desire, but rather it was through the inspiration of God, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that filled them fully with the words that you and I are able to read and profit from today. How about in the New Testament scriptures? Well, the same thing is true again whenever we talk about the interest and the love that God had in mankind. Jesus, the Son of God, called the apostles. "Come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men." We read of the thrilling call of Saul of Tarsus to become that great Apostle Paul. Even the disciples of our Lord were called by Jesus to come and to follow him day by day. And so the idea, then, of man being called by God is not something that is strange or new at all. And we have that reinforcement in the text that we have just read as Paul had written to the Thessalonians. I want to begin our discussion tonight by talking about God calling us by and through the gospel. And in order to reinforce this section of our lesson, I would like to read again in your hearing verse 14, when it says, "To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." I wonder how many religious men and women today there have been through the ages of time that are confident that God has called them, that overlook the truths that are expressed in our text. How does God call men today? Well, he calls them through the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of which we will have much to say in a moment. But just the moment I believe that we mention this great divine fact, that God calls us to the glory of Jesus Christ by and through the means of the gospel, there are going to be men and women today that will say, "Oh no, preacher, I want you to know that my call by God was much more marvelous. It was far, far above the idea of someone just hearing the gospel and being called by God. I have been called by God miraculously." What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I don't know whether you have ever been asked or not, "Have you been called by God to salvation?" Well, that is a very, very common terminology and thinking among many of our religious friends. "How are you saved from your sins?" "Oh, you're saved miraculously." "How do you become a follower of Jesus?" "Well, it is going to take a miraculous call by God or by the Holy Spirit." That may be in a dream. That may be in a vision. It may be some terrible, terrible accident from which you escape. It may be that a man simply says, "I heard the voice of God, and it spoke to me through the storm, and I knew that God then was calling me to salvation, and it just turned my world around." Now, what's wrong with that? Well, there's a bunch. First of all, a close study of the New Testament scriptures teach us that God had a divine purpose during the miraculous age. The New Testament scriptures had not yet been written. This gospel by which he calls us, that complete revelation had not yet come about. But if you have no other passage of scripture than the wonderful one that is found in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, we are told that there would come a time, a very definite time, whenever this miraculous age would pass away. It says, "When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with." And so just a study of 1 Corinthians 13 is going to tell us, when that perfect complete New Testament was finished. Let's make it more definite. Whenever John laid down his pen in what we believe was probably 96 or 97 A.D., somewhere along in there, whenever he put down his pen, the complete revelation of God, the completed gospel, everything that you and I can know about the will of God for mankind, how we are to be saved, how we are to serve Him, how we are to live as men and women, well, just everything. Well, it's there in the Bible. And we have that completed Bible. And when all of those apostles that had been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and when all of those disciples that the apostles had laid their hands on in order that they might receive one of those nine spiritual gifts which are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, that was it. At the end of the first century, we can say the miraculous age had come to an end. Well, what else about the individual that says, I was called by God miraculously, I heard the voice of God, and I knew then that I was saved? What is wrong with that? Well, the first thing that is wrong with that is it makes God a liar. Oh, you say, Brother Tope, those of my loved ones that have made that claim, they're so sincere. Oh, dear friends, understand me. I am not impeaching the feelings of people. I am not trying to say that these individuals would deliberately go against the teachings of the Bible or against what God has said. But if God's Word teaches us something, we have to receive it. We're simply humble men and women, and we are the recipients of this great revelation of God, and we ought to believe everything that it says. But there is something else, I believe, that is equally serious to the fact that when an individual says, I was miraculously called by God, whether in a dream or a visible voice or whatever it may have been, they are, well, they not only are denying the Bible, but the answer that they come up with. The answer that they come up with is contrary to what the gospel teaches. Now, those of you who have studied the New Testament scripture, and I think that includes maybe almost everyone in this room, we know that the Bible says if you want to be saved, if you want to have your sins washed away, there are certain things that Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, who knew how man needed to respond, that He told man, you've got to believe. You've got to believe that I am the Son of God. That very faith that you have is just the foundation. Because that faith, as you say, you know, I believe it with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. That calls on you to do something. James says if you don't do something, that's just a dead faith. That won't do you any good. But that faith has to be living and active where the individual says, if I believe Jesus is the Son of God, I've got to look at what He teaches me how I ought to be living. And invariably, that is going to call on us to repent of our sins. Someone says, well, repentance means you're sorry. Yes, it does include sorrow for sin. There is no doubt of it. But it includes a resolve. I'm going to do something. I'm not only sorry that I have been doing things, I've been living in a way that causes grief to my Heavenly Father. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my life. The fellow that says, I've repented, and he just keeps on in his sins. What? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Use Romans 10, if you will. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can't keep it to yourself. You have to have the courage to stand before men and say, I want you to know that I believe Jesus is the Son of God. You have to be immersed. The gospel says so. You have to obey it. Now, back to the point we've been making. What about the individual who says, I've been miraculously called by God, I've been saved. Well, what did you do? Well, I believed. I believed. Well, what else? Oh, that's all. Just faith alone. Don't you know that's what the Bible teaches? Just faith alone? No, I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that. Faith without works is dead. It's dead. That's the kind of thing that the individual is resting their hope of salvation on. Oh, dear friends, it makes me want to weep whenever I hear people say, I've been miraculously called by God. Well, let's spend just a little more time then on this idea of being called by the gospel. How did we get the gospel? Oh, there was an awful lot of preparation that went on in God's part. I'd look over to Ephesians, the third chapter. I'll take up the reading in verse 8, Ephesians 3, verse 8. Paul says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, as he planned to call us to salvation to the glory of Jesus Christ, planned way back there. How far way back there? Well, the eternal purpose of God was that man would be saved. And what did he do to bring that gospel about? He sent his son. He let that son die on the cross and be raised from the dead. Whenever we talk about our being called by the gospel, we need to understand that is God's only way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is Romans 1 and verse 16 with Paul speaking. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What's that verse telling us? You can't be saved in any other way other than the gospel. And that gospel is to be preached into all the world. How thankful we ought to be that we have men who are willing to go to these far-flung countries of the world and proclaim the Word of God. But you and I have our part right here at home. We follow the Word of God, as we hear the call of the gospel, we're not going to make any ridiculous claims that God called us miraculously. Do you know that makes God a respecter of persons? If He called you miraculously, why didn't He call the fellow next to you? No, that's not the way of it. Preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone is to have that equal call of the gospel given to them. Let's not withhold it from anyone. Well, not only is it true, we're making a little progress in our lesson. Not only is it true that God calls us by the gospel, telling us how to become Christians, but He calls us to salvation, teaching us how we ought to live. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4. I believe we read this the other day, but let's look at it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let us notice what is said here. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. A little longer reading, but I know you will follow. Paul says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. You should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, your body, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Oh, what about our brethren who start off right? They've been called by the gospel. They become obedient to the gospel. For a period of time, they live faithful to the calling of God. But then they allow the world and the attraction of the world and a variety of things to enter in. And they forget that God has called them to holy living. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Did you know God calls preachers? Now, I want to be careful here. I don't want you to think about Gene Tolt. Do you know that God calls preachers? I don't know how many times I have been challenged by those who disagree with me and they say, well, have you been called to preach? And without any hesitation on my part, I say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, as the case might be. Did you know God calls men to preach the gospel? Did you know that? I'll tell you, we have numbers of examples in the New Testament. I look over at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and I'm able to read about this call of God. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Do you know God did not intend for the gospel to just be preached in the first century? How was it going to be perpetuated? How is it that in every generation there would be those that would preach the gospel of Christ? Well, I look over at 1 Timothy, I believe it is, actually, again in 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, and in chapter 2 this time, and Paul gives this instruction now. He says to Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let me make a comment about men being called to preach the gospel. How does that come about? Well, there are disciples of the Lord, and they're not always young men either. There are disciples of the Lord, and they begin to look at the fact that we are called through the gospel to salvation, that the gospel is the power of God to save men. And then you know what they do. They lift up their eyes and they look at the world around them. And do you know what they see? They see the same thing that Jesus did when He was filled with compassion. He sees the multitude as though they were sheep without a shepherd. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth reapers into the vineyard. And those men, they say, the need is great. The need is great. I remember having read after Brother David Lipscomb. I don't always agree with Brother Lipscomb, I have to tell you that. But I read what Brother Lipscomb had to say about this very passage in 2 Timothy 2. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Who is called to preach the gospel? Faithful men. If you're not faithful, don't ever try to be a preacher. Faithful men who will be able. And somebody says, oh, that means you have to go to seminary, doesn't it? No. Do you know what God's Bible school is? Well, it's not Florida College. I have to tell you that. It's the church. It's the church. And men who want to save souls What greater work could there be on earth than saving souls? Do you know of anything that would be greater? You know what I continue to pray for? That there will be some men in this congregation that will say, I want to preach the gospel. I want to use my life. You say, Brother Tope, it's going to be hard. I can only tell you it will be. God calls men to preach the word. God calls Christians to holy living. God calls us through the gospel to be obedient to Him. Would you do that tonight? Would you serve Him faithfully? Brother Chuck, lead us in our song and let us help you if we can.